morning. The first lesson is taken from 2 Samuel. Now when the king was settled in his house, the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. The king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in the tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over all my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of all the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Now we'll read responsively from Luke 1. "My soul magnifies the Lord,
and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed.
For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts.
He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
According to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
The second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 16. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to his command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." Here ends the lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please come forward for the children's sermon. It's good to see you. Thank you for last Sunday when you did such a wonderful job portraying the Nativity of our Lord, correct? Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and tonight is we move to Christmas Eve and Christmas morning and 12 days of Christmas. So today the theme is, as we just sang in that the hymn, as you heard, the theme is love, God's love, and the love is given in the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And so today I'm going to, first I want to think about the nativity scene and think about the nativity scene that you acted out last week. You showed us the nativity scene. Nativity scene means birth, and it means all the things that surround a birth. When you were born, was it in a hospital? Probably. Have you seen pictures of your first few days of life? Oh, I assure you have. Well, then go home and look for some. So you, I'm sure pictures were taken and a record was taken. Well, they weren't taking pictures then with Jesus. So the Nativity of our Lord, based on Matthew and Luke, we have an idea of what it was like, mostly from Luke. Just looking here for a minute, we know that there was the baby Jesus. And we know Mary and Joseph made a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is about 90 miles. And they were there, and there was no room in the inn, you know that. And so they needed to go to either a cave or a stable. But we've kind of created a stable. I'm going to give you a stable in a minute. And that's where he's born, in a very humble setting. With his mother and father, there are angels, as you see. There are cattle that you see. There's shepherds that come, and angels surround him. That's who's there that night. And the one thing I'd like to emphasize is that a manger means a trough from which the animals eat their food. So Jesus would have been laid in the hay, which would be the food for those animals in the stable. So the humble, very earthy reality of the birth of Jesus, who is God. That's the mystery and wonder of this afternoon and day and the 12 days of Christmas. So I'm going to ask you to come up in a minute. And I have our children love to play with nativity scenes and big ones like that. Well, they're good. We played with those too, but I'm giving you a smaller one. So here you have, is that right side up? Yep. What would you have? Stars, and it looks like, it really does look like what we know as Palestine and beautiful country. It looks like that. And it would look like that on the night, every night. And I'm going to give you then, these little stickers can be taken off very carefully. And you can place the nativity scene as you would like to, and arrange it any way you see fit, rearrange it if you like. I think if you're careful, you'll know how to do it. And you can put the stable wherever you want. The one thing I want to say is that these camels and the wise men, they don't come until 12 days later, okay? We celebrate Christmas for 12 days. I think you shouldn't go back to school till those 12 days are up, but nobody would listen to a pastor about that. No, anyway, so you're doing that? Good for you. Okay, I appreciate it. So on the 12th day, actually, yeah, the 13th, but the 12th day after Christmas, the wise men come, and they are here too on the camels. We're going to talk about that closer to Epiphany. So today, I'm going to give you this nativity scene for you to arrange and remember again the humility of the scene and those who are there, the animals, Mary, Joseph, of course, Jesus, and him in a manger, a trough. Amen. Almighty God, bless these nativity scenes. Bless these children. Strengthen and guide them that they may continue to grow in the wonder of Jesus' birth, true God and true man. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So I have these for you. I can get these out quickly. So one side that would be the background, and the other side would be where you would put the participants in the nativity of our Lord. And I have another. In fact, I have plenty. I don't know what to expect tonight. Will you all come again tonight? Okay. I won't hold my breath. Okay. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen. And you've been here. You should be fine with that. Don't feel like I'm putting any pressure on you at all. Please. No pressure. Okay. You can return to your... Oh, no. Actually, Children's Church. Right. So I'm sure there's going to be activity there. That'll be great. I'm going to go over here a bit. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to the Holy Gospel. Amen. Upside down. Upside down means that the bottom is on the top. Sometimes upside down can feel and mean disorder or confusion, not normal, not what we expect. Upside down. Jesus, who is God, is born in human flesh as a baby, very vulnerable. I would call that upside down. And what he taught was upside down. The last will be first, and the first will be last. A turtle on its shell with its feet in the air is upside down. For the turtle, that is a dangerous place to be. And you know they use their heads and legs and wiggle as they can to get right side up. But it's a hard place for a turtle to be. You and I sometimes will be upside down if we fall. And I hope that doesn't happen often. But at rides or amusement parks, we get upside down. And we love that ride that might take us upside down and the thrill or the excitement of that moment. But I don't think any of us want to stay upside down. The invasion of Ukraine continues. The terrorist attacks on Israel and Israel's retaliation have left more than 1,200 Israelis dead and over 20,000 Palestinian civilians dead, 40% of those being children. And those numbers are changing every day, as you know. In that Russian invasion of the Ukraine, at least 10,000 civilians have died. There is violence in many places in this garden that God created. And when he created it, God called it good. And these upside down moments of violence are not in any way good in the heart of Almighty God. Violence against the LGBTQIA community, refugees, racial injustice continues, and women also. Is it possible that facing this upside-down world, we might be helped to recognize an opportunity to grow into new, more care-filled, more attentive, more compassionate ways of living together? That indeed is the opportunity that we have. And if you practice it now, we all can grow in practicing it more fully. It would be wonderful if after all this suffering, at the very least, there was a new commitment among us to do things that take care of and protect each other at all times and in all places. We could begin to think and ask questions like, how will what I do impact you? How will what I say impact you? We could think about that before we say it or do it. Or put another way, as Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. In today's lesson, things are turned upside down, both for King David and for Mary and Joseph. In today's lessons, God's call turns things upside down. And sometimes when God is calling you, it will feel like your world is upside down. David says, look, I have a house. There is peace in the land. He has found peace in the land, even with his enemies. But the ark of God is in a tent, and David didn't like that. And he wants to build a house of cedar, a temple for the ark of God to kind of know where God is. Nathan affirms the plan. The prophet Nathan affirms the plan and says to David, the Lord is with you. Again, the Ark of the Covenant, made of wood and overlaid with gold, contained the tablets of the Ten Commandments and symbolized the presence of God, although God was and is everywhere. But that very night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, and the plan of David and the plan Nathan okayed is turned upside down. In a stern way, God directs Nathan to tell David not to build a house for God. For God is always moving among the people, shepherding them, and can never be fixed in one place. Instead of David building, God will provide David and the people their own place. He will make them a kingdom of peace and establish the throne of David forever. It's the building of God that's going on here, not any building that David can do or make. From that upside-down perspective, David has enough humility to recognize the will of God, the word of God, the presence of God. And he realizes God is the one who gives, and we are the people who receive. God is acting to save the people, and David is carrying out God's will by allowing God to pour grace upon them. Now that is right side up. Mary's plans and Joseph's plans were turned upside down in this passage we call the Annunciation. She was a virgin engaged to be married to Joseph. Mary was humble and not a queen, and she was very young, in the small town of Nazareth, not the large city Jerusalem. And the angel Gabriel delivers this upside down news to her. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He is the Son of the Most High God. I love that the lesson says, and I read this lesson often through the year, I love that the lesson says that Mary is perplexed and she's pondering. There will be, even as God calls us, moments of perplexity, like we don't know for sure. And that's when we ponder, which is to pray and to listen. Well, Mary does that, and her response is a good question. How can this be? I'm only a virgin. Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be holy, the Son of God. Yes, everything is turned upside down for Mary and Joseph. Their plans and dreams seem to be pushed aside because there's a new plan and there's a new dream and there's a new vision from God. And Mary's response is to offer words of faith and trust and humility. Faith and trust and humility, they go together, as David learned too. And she says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Joseph also responds with faith, as we read in Matthew 1. He is called by God in a dream to take Mary as his wife, for the child conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, with faith, took Mary as his wife. And Mary and Joseph together show us that being upside down is not a threat, not necessarily our undoing, not even our defeat, but rather is the very ground for promise, hope, gift, opportunity, new life, new beginnings. In my experience, and I believe this sincerely, God does not use death and tragedy and illness and disaster to turn our lives upside down. God does not do that. No, rather in those moments, in the depth of our pain or anguish, which we feel even today as we will celebrate Christmas, we will still feel the pain and anguish of Gaza and the Ukraine and Israel, the West Bank and the Congo. We will feel that pain. But in the rubble, God is with us. And that, dear friends, is more than enough. In fact, that is everything. At the same time, may our faith in God be deep and strong enough, and our hearts, ears, and eyes be open enough, and may we be listening and pondering deeply enough so that when things are turned upside down, that we trust in God. When God calls us to a journey we can't see the end of, we face that call with pondering, prayer, with faith, humility, and blessed assurance. When we begin to think of all people and as our siblings and created by God with lives that are valuable, we begin to create a new and more care-filled, more attentive, more compassionate world. And a better way, I think, to live in the garden God created, our shared home. With Mary, we say, "Here we are, servants of the Lord. Let it be with us according to God's word, according to God's love." Covered by the grace of God, being upside down does not make us afraid. No, it makes us bold. And led by faith, we say, as council members said a few weeks ago, "Yes, by the help of God. Amen." The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.